Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and let's begin reading at verse number 24. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can. Don't want to rush it too much, but I don't want to break it into multiple services, and I think that we can get through it even before the magical hour. Praise God. Amen. That gives me an hour and 15 minutes. I got this. Praise God. I got this. We'll be done before then. Praise God. But I want to preach here tonight. Amen. Starting is common. Finishing is spiritual. Amen. Starting is common. Finishing is spiritual. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. God, we love you. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for your help.
Lord, we need your touch, God. Won't you have your way with us, Lord, and move in this place, Jesus. Oh, and on our pastor, Jesus, Lord, anoint us to hear and receive it, Jesus. God, we can't do it without your touch, without your help, on your word, and in our hearts, Jesus. Lord, speak to us tonight, God. Do what you want to do.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, let's just clap our hands unto him and thank the Lord for his goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless you and you may be seated. Amen. Somebody once made a statement while preaching in the process of trying to grow a church, trying to get a church to grow numerically, and he made a statement that said, "You got to throw a lot of mud on the wall for some to stick," which just basically means that there's a lot of people that come through the church, a lot of people that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, but some way down the road they just don't stick, they just don't stay in, they move on. Some get caught up in hype, and if you have not realized it yet, I am not one of those. I will tell you that, yes, I want to see everybody saved. And, yes, I want to see everybody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm okay with seeing somebody sit there, amen, and hear a few services, and they don't get caught up in the emotion, because Pentecost is emotional. Being apostolic is emotional. And you can get caught up in the emotion and do some things without really thinking about things. And sometimes that is good and sometimes that's not good. Amen. But I'd like to see them get a couple of Bible studies underneath their belt and understand what repentance is all about and understand what baptism is all about and infilling of the Holy Ghost is all about, because we still believe that message. That message that Jesus himself preached in John chapter number 3, when Nicodemus had come unto him, and Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus answered back and said, how can a man be born when he is old? And can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus looked back at him and said, amen, verily, verily, I say unto thee that except, in other words, there is no other way. You cannot believe on the Lord as your personal Savior. You cannot accept the Lord as your personal Savior. You cannot shake a preacher's hand. You cannot sign a membership somewhere and join the church. You must be born again of water and the Spirit, amen, or otherwise you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that Nicodemus was a good man on his way to hell, because good people are not necessarily going to be saved, amen, but it's going to be those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, that have been washed, amen, in the waters of baptism, that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and live in a sacred holy life. They are the ones that's going to see God. I'm so glad that I was baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm so glad that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, I don't know everything that I've missed. Maybe I missed AIDS. Maybe I've missed broken homes. Maybe I've missed drugs. Maybe I've missed, amen, robberies and thefts and violence and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you what I have gained. I've gained peace and joy and righteousness and goodness. And I'll just tell you today, God has been good to me. Oh, let's love him here today. Let's love him. Amen. There is a race. The Bible talked about joining in that race in the book of Luke, chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 57. Said, it came to pass that when they went in the way, that a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wheresoever you go. And the Lord replied back to him and said, well, foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to even lay his head. And the man would look and say, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, he said, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus made a bold statement there. He said, you know what? He said, when you've joined in this race, he said, if you take your hands off, if you back up, if you quit, if you walk away, amen. He said it like this. He said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. I want you to know, we've got to work to get in the kingdom. Somebody said, it's not my works, lest any man should boast. Amen. I want you to know, amen, that James said, amen, that faith without works is dead. It's going to take some work. But I'm going to tell you the greatest work that it's going to take, and that's getting up every day, putting your feet on the floor, and saying, I'm going to live for God again today. Oh, yeah, I said, that's the greatest fight that you're going to have. Day in and day out, offered chances and opportunities to back away and to walk away. Amen, but you got to keep your face set and you got to keep your feet planted. And you got to say, no, I'm in this race and I plan on finishing this race. Amen, it's a real race. Amen. I want to tell you today, amen, that salvation is not passive. Amen. It's aggressive. You're going to have to do something, to keep it, because you have an enemy that is trying his best to steal it, trying his best to destroy you. Amen. If you make heaven your home, it's going to be because you purpose to. This isn't a place that the fool is just going to wake up one day and say, wow, how did I get here? No, when you make it to heaven and when I make it to heaven, we're going to look at each other and dance on streets of gold, and we're going to say, it was worth every long mile. Amen. We did it. We made it. And it is worth it. Everyone is running, but not everyone's going to finish that race. Amen. Starting is a common thing. People like what they see, like what they feel, like what they hear. Amen. They want what they see. They want what they feel, and they want what they hear. And they'll come down to an altar, and they'll repent, and they'll get the Holy Ghost. Amen. But not everyone finishes the race. Praise God. Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." But he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus was saying, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to come a bartering time in your life where you are going to be offered something in exchange for your own soul. He said, what is it a man profited if you gain the whole world? Who cares, amen, if you had a job that paid you $1.2 million every year, but you lost your soul and you went to hell? What has it profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Amen. Paul said it like this. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. This is not something that you get to just stick on cruise control and sit back and let your Tesla spiritual automobile, amen, drive you down the road. Amen. There's going to be detours and potholes and things that you're going to have to, amen, steer around, and temptations that you're going to have to get through, and storms of life that you're going to have to worry yourself through. But if you do it, you got to stick to the race. You got to stick to the race. Amen. Starting is a common thing, but it's finishing is what's going to count. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Amen. Peter said, "For if after that they had escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein." In other words, you came in and you joined, but then all of a sudden something happened and you entangled yourself with the world again, and you're overcome. He said that the latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after that they had known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, amen, the dog has returned into his own vomit again, and the sow that has been washed is back wallowing in her mire again. Amen. What Jesus is, or what Peter is saying here, amen, is that when you join in this race, and when God sets you free, and if you entangle yourself back in that world, if you go back into that world, amen, he began to talk about it. He said it would have been better for you to have never known the ways of righteousness than to have ever come to an altar and repented, ever been baptized in Jesus' name, and then go backslide somewhere out there. Why? Because in hell you're going to think to yourself, I had my ticket to heaven and I cashed it out. I had my way, amen, to heaven. I had my seat. I had my reservation, but I let it go. Hey, man, Jesus, Peter said, it's like a dog that vomits and walks away but goes back to it and eats it all up again. It's like a pig, hey, man, that's been washed out of all the mire and the mud and the filth that they've wallowed in. But as soon as they get cleaned up, they go right back into it again. Peter said it would have been better for them to have never known. But once you've started, you're going to have a make-up mind. You ought to have a made-up mind. When you get in this, you ought to think to yourself, my salvation is not for sale. There's no temptation that is worth the salvation that God has blessed given me. Paul said, they that run the race, he said, they all run. He said, but it's only one that receives the prize. He's talking about a carnal, worldly race where they all line up on the starting blocks and they all begin to run. And he said, only one is the it receives the prize. And we understand that on this road to heaven, in this race, that there is going to be more than one that's going to make it to heaven. But the context is that many start, but not all finish. Amen. The context is that there are a lot that get up to start the race, but there's a lot that quit the race. There's a lot that start the race, but there's some that are disqualified from the race. Amen. But Paul said, we got to run that race. We got to run that race. Amen. He said, I therefore so run not as uncertainly and so fight. I'm not fighting as a shadow boxer and beating the air. Amen. But he said, I'm in this for the long haul. Amen. We praise God. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 11. Amen. Jesus said, there shall be many false prophets that rise up during the race, and they're going to deceive many that are racing. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many who are racing is going to wax cold. He said, but he that endures unto the end, he that just keeps on keeping on. Hey, can I say it like this today? There's days that you're going to feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And there's other days that you're going to feel like I can't even run 2 miles an hour. But you got to have that bulldog mentality. I'm just going to set my feet down. I'm going to plant my shoulder square. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on, because I'm not going to quit. Paul said participation is expected. Participation is expected, and there is a reward for the completion. But he said it is the one that endures, Jesus said, the one that endures. In other words, this isn't for the spectators. This isn't for the cheesers. Isn't for the ones that are just standing there hoping, maybe, amen, but it's the one that endures. You're going to go through something. It's the one, amen, that the purpose, amen, they've got purpose, they've got discipline, and they've got endurance. Amen. Paul said in our text, he said, so run that you may obtain. I want you to know tonight that you can be serious and still lose your focus. You can be gifted and still get disqualified. You can run hard, but still quit early. You've got to make up your mind day in and day out, after hour, I will not quit. I will not quit. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I got in this race. Backsliding's not an option. Quitting is not an option. I've got to make it to heaven. He that endures to the end, you're going to go through things. We could take a little bit of time, and I'm just going to touch this quickly. We could look at Saul, and let me just say it to you like this. Saul started out head and shoulders above everybody. He started out strong, looked upon. He even started out anointed. But he lost focus. He became a reactionist. He disobeyed under pressure and therefore was disqualified before the end. Amen. Samuel looked at Saul and said, the Lord hath rejected you from being king. You disqualified yourself. You started, but you didn't keep it up. You fell by the wayside. And so focus requires purpose. And purpose is the reason for which something is done. In other words, that runner, he sees that on a certain day, I've got to run a race. Well, he's not sitting in his house, laying on his couch, eating Doritos up until that day. But he's preparing himself day in and day out for that race. He's going to try to do his best to shed some excess weight and to build his endurance so that he doesn't get winded about three quarters of the way through the race. Amen. Because he's running to win. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." You see that when that runner is training, he may have ankle weights on, or he may have, amen, some type of waist weight upon him. But when it comes time to run, he's laying aside every weight. I want you to know today that there are things that are not necessarily sin, but yet they weigh you down, amen, and you get tired and you get weary, amen, because you're holding on to these things and trying to keep order to some of these things. Amen. Paul said, "Let us lay aside every weight." It doesn't have to be sin. If it's drawing you down, lay it down. If it's holding you back, amen, throw it back. Amen. If it's impeding your process, amen, then you got to get rid of it, because you got to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You want to know why you're struggling? You got sin in your life. You got weights connected to your life. You don't want to know, amen, why you're not getting as far as you thought that you could. You got sin in your life. You got weights on your legs. You got to lay them aside because they're wearing you down. Amen. You got to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then you've got to run the race with patience, the race that is set before. I want you to know this is a marathon, not a sprint. This isn't a 100-yard dash that you line up on the starting block, and when the gun goes off, you run for about 10 to 12 seconds, and then you cross that line and you get to stop. This is a marathon. You got to run with patience. Amen. You got to run with patience. Oh, yeah, that's what Paul said. Let us run that race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to tell you, friend, there is the key. Because if you're looking at carnality, if you're looking at temptations, if you're looking at worldliness, if you're looking at the things, amen, that are a part of this world, you're not going to stay focused. But if you will look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, amen, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. I'm oftentimes reminded about Simon or Simeon or the one that carried the cross. And that wasn't his cross. That was the Lord Jesus' cross. And he just happened to be, can I say it like this, in the wrong place at the wrong time. And when that soldier looked over and said, "Hey, you, come carry this cross." I can imagine him looking around saying, "Me? What did I do to deserve this?" And now, you see right here, everybody knows that he was chosen to come do this. But up the bend and around the corner, nobody knows that he was chosen to do this. And here he comes holding this cross. Everybody thinks to himself, wonder what he did. It's the shame of it. I didn't do anything. It's the shame of it that was there. But I want to tell you how he made it. There was one that was a few steps ahead of him, that as long as he kept looking at the stripes that was upon his back, as long as he kept looking at the crown of thorns that was in that one's head, amen, this crown doesn't mean, that this cross doesn't mean so much to me. I can bear this cross as long as I'm keeping him in the forefront of me. Amen. I want you to know that there is nothing that you cannot conquer, nothing that you cannot overcome, as long as you keep looking at the one that's already been there and done that before you. You can make it if you'll keep looking at the bloodstained cross. You can make it if you keep looking at the stripes that was placed upon his back. You can make it if you'll keep looking at the crown of thorns that was plotted upon his head. You can make it looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Consider him that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Sin obviously disqualifies you, but weights don't necessarily do that. Amen. But your focus has got to be upon Jesus. Praise God. Opposition is going to make quitting look reasonable. Amen. Where he said here, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, because that's where the battle is. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. They say, I don't know. I've never done it. And if you ever see me doing it, just call an ambulance because I'm going to need one. Or I'm going to have to get in a whole lot better shape than I'm in. But those runners that are running those marathons, they run 2, 3, 4 miles, maybe 5 miles. But there's a place that they have to break through mentally. It's not necessarily the physical part of it. It's the mental part of it. They got to break through that part, that mental part. And if they can break through that mental part of it, they can continue on forever. They can run 13, 14, 15, 20 miles. They can do it. But it's that mental part of it. Amen. The writer here said there's going to be a war that's in your mind. You gotta break through. There's some things that you can spiritually get past and physically endure. And you can get out and you can get through it with spiritual strength and stuff. But there's sometimes in your mind, you just got to set the course in your mind and say, I'm not going to quit. You need to take the highlighter or the Marks-A-Lot black marker or the eraser, whatever works, and you got to erase in your mind, quit. Quitting is not going to be in your vocabulary. Backsliding is not going to be in your vocabulary. Turning around is not going to be in your vocabulary. Amen. That way, when it gets to that mental process in your mind, amen, you can say, there is no other way. I've just got to keep on keeping on, because anybody can start, but not everybody is going to finish. Let's look at Elijah. Elijah prayed just a few prayers in 1 Kings 19. He prayed just a few prayers and fire fell from heaven. I don't care who you are. That'd make you feel good. And if that wouldn't make you feel good, come talk to me. Because I'm just telling you right now, I'd act like a blooming fool if I had prayed down fire from heaven and poof, it happened. Woo! I'm telling you, yeah! Well, that's what had just happened with Elijah. 1 Kings 19. But in the very next chapter, you can read what he says. And he says, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. He was not defeated by sin, but weariness and isolation. That's all it was. Even I alone, I'm the only one left. Weariness, just got tired and well doing. Weariness and isolation. One chapter he's calling down fire from heaven. The next chapter he's ready to quit. But I want you to notice that God stepped in and God didn't really rebuke him, even though he got a decent rebuke. What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, I'm just here all by my lonesome self. Nobody loves you as much as I love you. Nobody will do what I've done. I'm the only one that's left. Lord said, you aren't the only one that's left. I got hundreds. that haven't bowed there. You really need to remember you're not the only one that's left. Well, I think that I'm just the only one that's really. You're not the only one. He's got countless hundreds and thousands, amen, that are still living this holy, separated, dedicated life. Praise God. But God said, look, bud, get up. I got some things for you to do. And so from there, he went forth and he anointed Hazael to be the king. And he went on and on and on and such. And so you've got to make sure that that mental part in your mind has got to be set. It's got to be set. Praise God. Enduring the race equates to testing of convictions and not just your emotions. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. Paul wrote unto that church and he said it like this. He said, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Let me just say it like this. A good start doesn't guarantee a good finish. Come on. Man, I'm telling you what, they got a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Where are they tonight? A good start doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a great finish. You got to keep on keeping on. Paul doesn't know how that they ran. He doesn't question how that they ran, but he questions, why did you stop? I want to know, why did you stop? What caused you to stop? He said this persuasion didn't come of him that calleth you. Man, Paul is letting you know that there is spiritual interference that happens. This persuasion's not coming from God. You didn't quit outright. You just got redirected. You just took a wrong path. Not all opposition is persecution. Some opposition comes as reasonable alternatives. And some quitting looks like spiritual, blessing in it. Amen. But I want you to know, you just got to keep the right mind. Amen. And you got to say, nope, I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And you just got to keep on, keep it on. Praise God. I had a man call me one time and he said, Brother Cowan, he said, I'm just going through some things. And he began to tell me what he was going through and stuff. And I didn't have the answers for him. I didn't have all the wisdom and the intellect and all that other stuff. I just simply asked him. I said, Brother, let me ask you a question. I said, do you know what's right? He said, yes, sir, I know what's right. I said, here's another question. Do you know what's wrong? He said, yes, sir, I know what's wrong. I said, good, then just keep on doing right. You know, sometimes that's just the best answer for us. Amen. We don't have to know and understand and try to formulate and try to get it all. You know what's right. Just keep on doing right. Don't make it harder than it is. Amen. It's not hard. I want you to know God wants you to make it. God wants to see you in heaven. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. God's not looking to bean you over the head on every little thing that you do. God is your best fan, your greatest fan. He's saying, come on, come on. You can make it. You can make it. Just keep on running. And the closer we get to the end time, the greater the temptations are going to be. And therefore, the more endurance we're going to have. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 8 says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Am I going to find faith on the earth? That's the greatest question. Quitting often begins with confusion. And we know that God is not the author of confusion, but that's the tactic of the devil to get in your way and to cause confusion about you. Paul addressed this confusion in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 2, he said that you not be soon shaken in your mind, because we know that's where most of the battle is, right there in your mind. He said that you're not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. Don't let it be spiritual, hey man, something that's fandangled and messed up and proposed to be spiritual. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Just stay in the straight and narrow. Hey man, don't be shaken by false prophets. False prophets, you know what? I am so amazed at the times that I personally have had people come to me and ask me, what do you think of this guy? I got to be careful. I call names, somebody be out to sue me. They won't get very much. What do you think of this person? This person is saying this and this. What do you think of this one? You know, here's a good guideline to go by. And it's relatively simple. If it brings confusion to you, stay away. Well, I'm just trying to get deeper in truth. That's a lie of hell. I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm saying that the ones that you're watching and trying, all those end time people, you know, that want to. That's why we don't have television for anything. Say, well, I just have television. I just watch, you know, I don't even know what it's called. I just watch the God channel. God ain't on that channel. That's a bunch of false prophets. Yeah, it is. You know, everybody was all star-gazed and star-crazed with Mr. Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn came to Colorado Springs one time, and he was there in the World Arena, and they had like 10,000 people there, and so they took up an offering, and they filled the buckets. They brought them in, and Benny Hinn said, that's not enough. God wants to do something special in here. Pass the offering plates again. And so they passed them out again and, you know, brought in a heap and load and stuff. And then supposedly all these miracles started happening and stuff. I've seen these charlatans. You got this lady that's sitting over there on the pew all hunched over like this. That false prophet walks right by her and says, I perceive that you got a bad back. God's healed your back right now. What about her? It's just crazy. And I'm not here to be long-winded, so I got to stop. But you cannot be soon shaken in spirit. In spirit. Come on. Can I say it like this? There was a young man that used to go to church here. But you know, some of his last words to me was talking about somebody that his mother was listening to on television. Paul said that you not be soon shaken in spirit. But he didn't stop there. He said, or by word. He said, or by letter. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You've got to have a mindset that says, it doesn't matter. I've got to make it. I'm just going to keep on running. Hell. You know, it's hard to give, amen, a lot of these worldly things time when you're running. You got to stop to give some of these things consideration and time. But if you're running, hey man, they can't catch you. If you're running, you don't have time to look at them too much. Hey man, you got to keep on running. Hey man, the little song said, I just got to run on for Jesus. Well, then run on for Jesus. But I can't quit. Fear increases. Stability weakens. Discernment erodes. Amen. But you gotta keep on keeping on. Amen. He goes on to say, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Amen. Paul was letting us know, amen, that people don't wake up, that, amen, falling away. But what they do is they lose the clarity. They lose conviction. They lose commitment. Amen. They lose endurance. Amen. They lose a lot of things before that they quit. I'm encouraging somebody here today. Don't stop. Amen. Stand back up and just keep on running. Anybody can start, but not everybody finishes. You got to make up your mind. You know, and the devil's going to come up to you and say, you know, you're too tired to pray today. And you know what? It's easy to say. For once, you finally tell him the truth. I am tired. The devil says, just go ahead and sit down. You know what you could do? You could lay down on the floor and take a nap, and everybody would think that you're sleeping. I mean, everybody would think that you're praying. We did think that you were sleeping. You're going to have all kinds of temptations and all kinds of things happen over and over and over. And just because you beat it on Monday doesn't mean it's not coming on Tuesday. And just because you beat it in the a.m. doesn't mean it's not coming in the p.m. And just because you beat it in the afternoon doesn't mean that it's not coming in the evening time. Amen. The devil's relentless. He's relentless. The Bible said that if he knows anything, he knows he has but a short time. He has got a short time. And so he's working overtime, trying to get at you. And that's why it's so tough at times. But you know why it's tough at times? A lot of the reason? Because you haven't clarified it in your mind. I'm not going to stop. Anybody can start. A lot of people start. I don't plan on being a statistic. I don't plan on being one that's disqualified. I don't plan on being one that's quit. That was Paul. Paul said, I don't plan on being one that's quit either. And what did he say in the book of Romans chapter number 8? We get over there and he begins to talking about, and he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Amen. He goes, persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And he said, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who hath loved us. And he said, I am persuaded. He had a made up mind. He had a conviction. Amen. There was no quitting, no backsliding, no stopping, no setting down. He said, I am persuaded. Amen. All of these things are coming against me and none of it's going to be able to move me. Death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, did you read where he said, amen, he didn't say separate me. He said none of these things shall be able to separate us. What Paul was saying, I got confidence in you, brother. You may be a little bit tired, but get through it mentally. You're going to come on through. Amen. Paul was saying, hey, I plan on making it, and I think that you're going to make it, sister. Amen. You just got to keep on keeping on. Anybody can start, but not everybody finishes. Finishing is a spiritual thing. You got to stay in it. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. There's some race conditions. Some race conditions. Many years ago, I had a four-wheeler, a racing four-wheeler. And I had that mentality, ride it like you stole it. And there's another saying that I use too. If you don't need a helmet, you're not having fun. And so I had a helmet, and I rode it like I stole it. I'm burning rubber or burning dirt. Sliding in and out of corners, hanging off the side of it, going as fast as I could go. I flipped it. I get back up, throw it back over, jump back on it, and take back off again. Chasing down. We had a place in Pueblo, it was the racetrack. And we'd go out there and we'd run our quads out there. And I was racing out there. Not professionally, but I was out there racing. And you know, one time I was running hard and I was running fast. And I came up to the top of the hill, came over the top of the hill, and there's some goofy little kid going the wrong way on the track. I smashed him. I tore him off his bike. He tore me off my bike. I flipped end over end down the hill, and I looked up there, and I thought he was dead. Well, he wasn't dead. He had a lot of problems. We got him to a hospital. But I broke my arm. I broke my hand. My bike was all tore up. Plastic was all busted and broke. It was all scratched up. Handlebars bent. Steering stem bent. I broke my hand. Friend, I didn't just break my hand. I didn't have to have surgery, but I didn't just break my hand. I broke one of the only bones in the body that doesn't have blood flow to it. So in other words, that young man that ruptured his spleen, broke his collarbone, and shattered his hand was out of all of his cast and out of the hospital before I was out of mine. So I got a cast on my hand. That didn't stop me. I ordered a new steering stem, and I put it on my bike. I got new handlebars, and I put them on my bike. I ripped everything off of that bike, and I painted it. I put all new plastic on it, all new decals on it, got it ready and stuff like that, and I still had a broke hand. I got it loaded up in the truck, and I went back out to the racetrack, just having fun. And I noticed real quickly that my cast was an inhibitor, but I had a mindset I wasn't going to let that cast get the best of me. So I took my 10 snips and I cut a big old gouge out of my cast so that I could get a hold of that handlebar. And I raced the guys that was running around the track and I beat them. I ran hard and I ran. What I'm saying is I just simply had a mindset. I'm not going to let anything deter me. Not going to let anything stop me. I'm not going to let a broke hand stop me. My doctor thought I was mentally. And my wife. My doctor took a look at that mangled cast that I had. And he said, "Did you do this?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Did you know that you can get cut and all that other stuff by there, and you're going to get infection inside there, and it's going to be a whole lot worse?" Well, you always heard that saying, sometimes it's worth it. That's kind of my mindset. So he put another cast on me, and he wrapped it all the way up to the tip of my thumb and the tips of my fingers. I was so mad at that doctor. I wanted to run. Not on my feet, but on my bike. I wanted to go. I wanted to go. And when I got that cast off of my hand, I was right back out there running and going. We got to have that mentality when it comes to running for Jesus. I'm not going to let anything stop me. You know, sometimes I told all that story. I kind of forgot where I was, huh? But, you know, sometimes we get out there on that track and it's just a muddy mess. We just had to ride a little bit different, but we rode. And sometimes we get out there and the tractors had gotten out there and they had smoothed out the whole thing. The hills were top perfect and right. Oh, man, we could fly like the wind. But sometimes we'd get out there and it wasn't muddy and it wasn't smooth and it was just rutted and hard and stuff. We still rode. Paul was saying, There's going to be some different track conditions in life. There's going to be confusion that comes your way. You got to keep running. There's going to be hard and deep ruts that are in the road. You got to keep running. Sometimes it's just going to be a muddy mess. You got to keep running. You just got to keep on keeping on. Distress, persecution, famine, it doesn't matter what it is. You got to have a mindset. Nothing is going to stop me from running. Now let me give you a perfect example. Paul. Shipwrecked. Paul said, I'm going to keep on running. Beaten. I'm going to keep on running. Imprisoned. I'm ready to run on. Betrayed. I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep on running. Hey man, he was able to say in the end, I've been shipwrecked, but I finished my course. I've been beaten with rods, but I still kept running. I've been betrayed, but I still kept running. I've been thrown in prison, but it didn't stop me from running. I just kept on running. I just kept on running. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, the race isn't to the swift. I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to be the fastest runner. You don't have to be the strongest runner. You just have to refuse to quit. And when you're tired, just keep running. And when you're hurt, just keep running. And when you're confused, just keep running. And when you're opposed, just keep running. And when you're alone, just keep running. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Don't ever give in. Don't ever quit. Anybody can start, but not everybody finishes. Starting is a common process. Amen. But finishing is a spiritual one. You just got to keep on. Do I have anybody here tonight that's going to stay? I'm not quitting. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving up. I'm not sitting down. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping this. I'm ready to run on.
I'm ready to run on.